You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Someone You Love Has AIDS. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Someone you love has AIDS. That's the sad truth for many of us. Perhaps you or someone you love has HIV. HIV is the virus that kills those body cells that are supposed to fight off disease. You may have HIV and appear quite healthy. Or perhaps you or a loved one has full-blown AIDS. The HIV virus has left you unprotected, and an infection is slowly working death. Oh, you don't think so? You're thinking, no one I love has AIDS. Well, don't be so sure. Take, for example, the case of young Melanie and Kelsey. 5 years ago, Melanie and Kelsey had their ears pierced so they could wear earrings. The amateur who pierced them had not sterilized the needle. Melanie and Kelsey both contracted the virus. Scary, isn't it? By 1995, AIDS will replace automobile deaths as the third largest killer of Americans. 97% of AIDS cases are transmitted in one of the following four ways. You can get HIV from an infected needle, as happened to Melanie and Kelsey. The chief problem, however, is not pierced ears, but the infected needles of drug addicts. HIV is carried by the blood. That means that open sores, cuts, and even microscopic lesions can transmit the virus. And how about blood transfusions? Since 1985, the blood supply has been carefully screened, so transfusions as a cause of AIDS has dropped significantly. HIV is also transmitted to others through sexual fluids. That's why there's so much talk about safe sex these days. But condoms aren't the solution. They fail at a rate of 8 to 15%. The solution here is faithfulness in marriage. Fourth and finally, a mother with AIDS can pass it to her child in the womb, in the birth process, or in breast milk. You think AIDS isn't your problem? You think you don't know anyone with AIDS? I doubt it. AIDS is not just present among homosexuals. It's rapidly growing among heterosexuals, and it's rapidly growing among older adults. AIDS concerns us all. We're all in this together. So let's look at our problem. Do you get the point? AIDS is our problem. With the insight of Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, here the Bible says, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Now that's a pretty clear-cut either-or proposition. Either you are led by the Holy Spirit of God, or you are under the law. Consider the second half, the part that says you are under law. The law commands the good that God wants you and me to do, to say, and even to think. If we don't do the good that God wants us to do, the law is there to accuse and condemn us for our sin. There are many passages of law in the Bible. The best known are the Ten Commandments. One thing about the law, it accuses you. I mean, it always accuses you. You can take this as a basic rule for life in the real world. Whenever you feel accused or guilty, the law is working on you. The law always, always accuses you. The AIDS epidemic has everyone feeling accused. Unless a cure is quickly found, you're under a sentence of death. Personally, I can think of no more vivid and terrible demonstration of the truth that the law always accuses than our present AIDS epidemic. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 5:18 that you and I are either under the law or we're led by the Spirit. And that's the other side of this clear-cut, either-or proposition, led by the Spirit. That suggests a journey. And being led by the Spirit is indeed a journey. It's a journey out of accusation and guilt and into freedom and forgiveness. It's a journey from the sentence of death to the hope of life. It's a journey from the law to the good news that God offers us sinners in Jesus Christ. And that's where the Spirit leads, to Jesus Christ. The law is like a chaperone. You don't date the chaperone. You date the one you love. We don't love the accusations and sentence of death that the law brings, but we need the truth of the law so that we can appreciate and love the good news of Christ. The law is only intended to be a chaperone. It brings us to the one we love, the Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who says to every hurting sinner, "The person who comes to me, I will never turn away." Jesus knows the feelings that come to you because of AIDS. People with AIDS are often rejected by family, by friends, by co-workers. If you or someone you love has AIDS, Jesus can identify with your loneliness. Isaiah chapter 53 says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus was under the sentence of death. AIDS people can relate to that. In some cases, it may take 15 years before AIDS brings death, but the sentence of death is always there. Jesus understands what it's like to wake up knowing that sooner or later you're going to die. After Jesus' early miracles, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees began plotting how they could kill him. And eventually, they succeeded. The sentence of death was carried out on Calvary's cross. Jesus died a painful death and was buried. Now, there's nothing especially hopeful in these comparisons to Jesus. Misery may love company, but there's little hope in merely knowing that Jesus, too, was reproached, condemned, and finally died. But there is hope for the person with AIDS. Real, substantial, practical hope when the Holy Spirit leads us to see the goal of Christ's suffering. Christ's goal, simply put, was to get rid of death and to restore life and hope to every life. We die because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. The AIDS epidemic is only one terrible demonstration that sin brings death. However, promiscuity isn't the only sin that brings death. Every sin eventually causes death because God is life and sin is a rejection of the God of life. Therefore, the result of sin is death. Whether it's AIDS or cancer or heart disease or you name it, we all die sooner or later because we are all sinners. Now, it's obvious what we need. We need to get rid of death. That's what we want, and that's what Jesus came to do. He came to get rid of death by taking care of the problem of sin. He did that by becoming our substitute, by suffering for our sins. You might say that Jesus Christ is the worst sinner this world has ever seen. That's not because he had sin. No, Jesus is the perfect Son of God. His nature is life itself. But he who is sinless life suffered the death caused by sin, the eternal, unending death that you and I deserve because of all our wrongs. Now, did Jesus accomplish his goal? Yes. That's why God the Father restored him to life on Easter morning. Jesus was restored to life because he had successfully tackled the problem of sin. Now, all you need to do is believe it. Trust these words of life and hope. You feel accused? You know that you're under the sentence of death? That's the world the way we know it. We pray for a cure for AIDS, but medical cures can only solve medical problems. The sentence of eternal death because of our sin is removed by faith in the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. That's the way God wants you to see things. Not through the dismal shroud of epidemic death, but through the hope, the real, the substantial, the practical hope of your eternal life. And that's where the Spirit leads us, out of the law and into the gospel. Romans chapter 8 says, Now, no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the spiritual life that we have in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, because it is weakened by the flesh, God has done by sending His Son to be like sinful flesh. God sent Him to be a sacrifice for sin and condemn sin in His flesh. So, now what? How do we take these great truths and put them into practice today? Future life in heaven for you, the believer, is a fact. This hope in heaven is sure and certain. In the last analysis, you do have great things ahead of you. But how do life and hope show up now as you're struggling with AIDS in your life or with someone you love? In Galatians 3, the Bible gives some hands-on information. The fruit of the Spirit, it says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now for an example, take Walter and Jeanette. Walter acted like a tough guy, with a bold front, but he had a trembling heart. He'd been sexually active, promiscuous. Galatians 3 labels Walter's conduct as sexual sin, impurity, unrestrained lust. Some people get offended when Bible believers label infidelity, and also homosexuality, a sin. But that is clearly stated over and over again in the Bible. If you're offended by the label of sin, your quarrel's with the Bible, not with me. Anyway, Walter was promiscuous, and he got the virus. The virus was not detected until after Walter married a Christian woman named Jeanette. Despite the devastating news, she stuck to her marriage vows. She showed love, real love. Her attitude was that of Christ, to take care of others. Christian love does not seek its own advantage, and so Jeanette took care of Walter as best she could. I don't want to say that Jeanette's life was easy. Christians are guilty of many things, and sometimes we simplistically suggest that faith in Christ turns life into a bed of roses, but it doesn't, and Jeanette had her tough days. The Spirit does lead us to know joy, but Jeanette wasn't always joyous. As Walter's situation deteriorated, she had to clean up after him, a nasty task, not joyous. And yet she drew joy from an eternal perspective. She knew that the greatest and most long-lasting joy comes from the God of hope. The Spirit leads us to peace. And there was many a time when Jeanette was frazzled taking care of Walter. But Jeanette endured because she knew Jesus' words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." The Spirit leads to patience, to kindness, to goodness, to gentleness. When someone you love has AIDS, you need all these virtues. Unless, of course, you're going to walk out on the person with AIDS. Jeanette could have walked out, or at least slipped out. A friend tempted her to have an affair, but she kept her desires in check. As Galatians says, she was faithful and had self-control. She walked by the Spirit. A journey that isn't always easy, a journey that needs patience, kindness, and all the rest. But this journey, tough as it is infinitely better than being selfish and sneaking out. I hope you see it that way too. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a sure hope for eternal life. How do you act now? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Jeanette must have prayed countless times for God's help as she demonstrated true Christian love to her husband, Walter. Do you have AIDS? Someone you love has AIDS? pray. And know that we pray with you and for you. And remember when you pray the one to whom you're praying, the one who has removed the sentence of eternal death, the one whose word to you is life, and the one who wonderfully promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.